Welcome, everybody. This is the Office 365 Patterns and Practices webcast. And this time, we're going to talk about Patterns and Practices JavaScript Special Interest Group, as in the SIG. And with me today in the call or in the webcast is Patrick Rogers, who's actually the lead within the Special Interest Group, which we work together with the community volunteers as well. I'm going to lead, well, Patrick is going to lead the webcast, and personally I will be asking and interrupting the discussion when there's something to ask and so on. So Patrick, take it away.
Hi Vesa, I'm really happy to be back on the webcast and look forward to talking to folks about the JavaScript Special Interest Group. It's an initiative we started, it's been going on for a few months now, and we'd like to kind of get it out there and to a wider audience. So let's jump right in and talk about what we're going to go through during this session. We're going to talk about a mission statement and goals for the Special Interest Group, do an introduction to the program, talk about the activities the Special Interest Group is involved in, and then at the end we'll talk about how you can get involved. You're definitely invited to contribute both your code and ideas and to the conversation. So jumping right in, we've, as a team, been looking to come up with a mission statement and really define what it is we're doing. And currently our mission statement is produce a modular, flexible, and developer-focused JavaScript library simplifying interaction with SharePoint. And where this comes from is a desire to sort of emulate the functionality and success of the CSOM Patterns and Practices library, which I believe most folks watching this will be familiar with. But we want to take that idea and now bring it into the client-side development world, sort of formalize that a little bit more by both providing this library as well as sort of some patterns and practices on the client side. We've got some well-established stuff on the server side, so kind of bringing some of that formality over to the client side.
So now, Patrick, sorry for jumping on that one. So a typical question, obviously, at this point would be, so is this replacing the core component, the managed version of the core component?
Oh, absolutely not. It's another, the way I look at this is development is using the tools at your disposal. And so this is going to be another tool in the tool chest. For the server-side work that folks are going to be doing and will continue to do, the CSOM library is still the place to go. It's still being developed. It's still monthly releases. It's still, you know, really important. This is just hopefully going to be another tool that folks can use when they have to do some client-side development work, whether that's in a script editor web part or embedding stuff directly in a page, something like that. We hope to provide some additional kind of patterns and practices, some boilerplate code and functionality they can use on the client side, similar to what they've been using and will continue to use on the server side for sure.
And then obviously just clarifying, the server side reference is server side within Microsoft Azure or within the provider hosted adding area. So obviously the CSOM code wouldn't be running server side in a SharePoint server. So the typical provider hosted add-in pattern, just yep, to make sure that we distinct that one.
But yeah, absolutely.
Sorry for that. So absolutely. Please continue. Absolutely.
So here's kind of a loose list of our goals. And we'll talk a little bit more on the next slide about sort of the program and how we operate. But one of our big goals is to provide collaboration. So to give folks who have an interest in client-side development a place to come and collaborate with like-minded peers and get involved and do you know, some kind of work that maybe they don't get to do, you know, every day as part of the normal job, or they just have some really good ideas around client-side development, and give a forum for discussion and conversation and collaboration around you know, the code and the development process. And we'll talk a little bit more later about Yammer, where we all of our decisions are very open. So we discuss everything out in the open, and it's very collaborative. So providing that collaboration is a big goal. Another big goal is giving everyone a chance to learn some new tools and new techniques. We're very open source focused, so there's a lot of new tools, especially for folks like myself, coming, you know, from the server side C# programming. Lots of new tools out there to learn, lots of new techniques. So we as a team are conducting that learning and sort of documenting that learning as well. And then hopefully we're also providing folks an opportunity to do some fun work, some work that, you know, maybe they don't get to do, you know, day to day, but a chance to kind of as a hobby, if you really enjoy programming, really enjoy these sorts of activities, getting to do some fun stuff and have some recognition for that great work. And then part of the collaboration is definitely we're all learning from each other and open communication. You know, everybody who's contributed code is you know, it's an open discussion about, well, is that the best way to do it? What about this other technique? Same for the libraries and the tools. Very open, very flowing communication, really trying to foster that. So getting into...
And on the tooling part, just to jump on the tooling part, just to kind of slightly elaborate on that one more. So obviously, we as a classic SharePoint developers, we've been kind of isolated on what's happening outside of the SharePoint world. And we've been so used to build and to development and debug within a Visual Studio. But there's actually a lot of development happening in the open source scene. And people are using stuff like Node.js and npm and all of that as a web development platform. And this is actually a great opportunity on starting learning how to do that stuff as well together also with SharePoint. Because now if we learn how to do that, we actually learn how to do web development in general. So it's not a SharePoint specific stuff. So this is a great opportunity for people learning new standardized ways of doing web development, including SharePoint.
Yep, absolutely. And I know, I mean, I can speak for myself. It's been a big learning experience for me. I've already learned a lot getting involved in this, and especially around the tooling. So it's a great learning opportunity to take advantage of kind of the team, and because we've got some folks that really have a lot more experience in some of the areas and have been able to teach us all as a group about the new tooling and different ways of going about it. So it's been really good. Speaking of, so we kind of have, give you a little bit of history. The special interest groups are under the larger patterns and practices umbrella, and they came out of the idea that the patterns and practices program has gotten is kind of a victim of its own success. It's gotten very big, and it's difficult at times to manage from the core team alone. So the core team is a smaller group of folks to try and coordinate the activities, but then we had lots of areas that we had interest, such as client-side development and other areas that will be coming along soon. This is the first special interest group we've spun up, but sort of breaking those out and having an opportunity that if you're very interested in client-side development, here's where you can go, and it's a little bit more focused. If you're very interested in, for example, the Microsoft Graph, there's going to be a special interest group around that area as well, so you can go and pursue, you know, a little bit more focused interest there to hopefully make it easier for folks to get involved and get into the Patterns and Practices program in their areas of interest where, you know, they can have the most impact or have just, again, the most interest. So we have this concept of we're a completely distributed, agile, worldwide one team. Anyone in the world is welcome to participate and join through the GitHub repos, which we'll talk about, through the Yammer group, which we'll talk about, through the weekly call, which we'll talk about. And we'll go through these things, but it's very open. Anyone is welcome to join. And we have this concept of it being an elastic team. We understand this isn't your job necessarily. So it's when you have time, maybe one week you can contribute some great documentation or examples or code. Other weeks you might have no time at all to contribute, and that's totally understood and totally expected. So as people have time, we welcome them in, we welcome their contributions, and when they have to go away for a couple of weeks and we don't hear from them, that's totally expected. They'll be back when they can, and we've already seen this in action. During our weekly calls, folks are coming in, new ideas, folks that have been there are coming back, so it's been really great, and it's totally expected. There's no demand on our side that if you're not there every week, you can't be part of this. You know, some folks can't get to any of the weekly calls, but are active on the Yammer and the other channels, so that's also totally great. Understanding lots of priorities in life, and we're not looking to compete with those priorities, but just looking to be here when you do have some time. And so we're also very community-driven. Community-driven from the kind of work we want to do, the kind of code we want to write, as well as our decision-making. So every time we make a decision about the library, we discuss it in the weekly call, we discuss it on the Yammer group, we get as much feedback and discussion as we can, and then we try and arrive at the best decision. So again, very collaborative, very community-driven team. And finally, our focus is on enabling developers. So we talked a little bit about, in the goals, enabling the developers on the team to do some fun work and write some good code. And then we also want to enable the developers who are going to consume our library to do so very easily. And it's all about kind of creating that good experience from both, you know, all the way from code authoring all the way through to code consumption. So looking to enable everyone along that pipeline. And finally, we got some of the technologies we're using. We're using TypeScript very heavily, so a great opportunity to learn TypeScript. Chai, which is a testing framework in JavaScript. Gulp, which is a build engine, a build scripting engine, which is really powerful, really easy to use. And then Node.js is our kind of development server, so to speak, that allows us to test some of our things there on your machine as you're developing. So we got a couple of links there at the bottom. We'll look at what those are later, but they're links to our Yammer group and links to our GitHub repo. So the Yammer group, I've mentioned this a few times. We have a very active Yammer group. You can see the link there at the top, aka MS Office Dev PNP SIG JavaScript Yammer. And it's everything I've mentioned before. So it's all our team conversations around the goals, around code, around learning. It's very open, great discussions. Weekly, we've got two or three big threads going on whatever topic we're talking about. And anyone is welcome to join in, whether you have questions or ideas or just comments about what we're talking about. Really looking, for that kind of collaboration and those discussions in the Yammer group. And the Yammer group has really become an extension of the weekly calls. Like I said, some folks can't make the calls, so we continue those conversations in Yammer. So folks who either were busy or on a different time zone or whatever can still be part of the conversation. Again, trying to be as inclusive as possible for the special interest group. And then speaking of these weekly calls, there's a link there at the top, Office Dev PMP SP Client SIG Call. And that is to a calendar invite for our weekly call. It's held weekly at 10 a.m. Eastern time, Eastern U.S. time. And it's an open forum. It's a chance for the team to get together and plan, discuss. We generally do some demos. We talk about what's been done in the last week, talk about some of the discussions on Yammer, so kind of making sure we recycle the conversations to all the different forums. And then we'll generally make some decisions on those calls as well, tied in with the Yammer discussions. And I want to stress, we're looking for as many voices as possible. We love input and new ideas. So if you can join the weekly calls, definitely want to welcome you to those as well.
On a weekly call, just to kind of clarify that for the European audience as well. So the 10 a.m. Eastern Europe, what was it, Eastern U.S. time? That's pretty much typically 4 p.m. Central European time. So slightly, but it depends on the time zones and the daylight savings and all of that, but 4 p.m. on Thursdays for the majority of Europe.
And we tried to pick a time that would cover as many folks as we could, understanding there's some folks who that just totally doesn't work for, and we've had some discussion about maybe having a couple of special one-offs at strange hours. So that's still in the plans. But for now, our weekly call is the Thursdays at Eastern U.S. time, 10 a.m.
And obviously, if there is a massive demand in the future, we'll set up a calls which are then aligning more within the APAC and Australia time zones as well. But we needed to start with a one call, and then we can scale from there to different time zones as needed.
Yep, absolutely. And the last thing I want to talk about before I show some stuff on the call, which is always a little bit more interesting than the slides, is we're working out of GitHub, which is an open source repository. It's like TFS, if you're familiar with TFS. but completely different. So it is a source control system, but it's got a slightly different methodology. It takes a little bit of getting used to, but we do have a patterns and practices video around getting started with Git. We've got some guidance in our team repo here around getting started with Git. So we're definitely supporting the learning there. And once you kind of get into it a little bit, the concepts are the same. You're still putting your code into source control, getting versions out of source control. But in there, we've got our code, we've got guides and documentation. On the guides and documentation, again, it's very early days for the project, so we're looking for any help we can to kind of beef those up. If you see places where you need a little bit more guidance or help, certainly looking for you to submit an issue. You can submit issues there in the GitHub repo and say, hey, I could use a little bit more instruction around XYZ. That's great feedback as well. And there's many opportunities to contribute. We talk about those in Yammer and on the weekly call. Like I said, very early days. We're just kind of getting started. If you're familiar with the CSOM library, it's been in development now for 2 or 3 years, 2 or 3 years, Vesa, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
And so it's a little bit more mature. There's a lot of code in there. There's a lot of functionality in there. We're not quite there yet. We're going to get there. But you have to start slow and start well. So we've gotten started. And again, we're trying to, as a team, make good decisions now early on so we don't have big changes to make further down the road. But it's all open source. Anyone can contribute to the GitHub repo. And again, it's that open team concept. So when you have some time, maybe you can write a couple of classes. And the next week, if you don't have time, no worries. So let's take a look at some of the stuff we've talked about real quick. This is the Yammer group. And so you can see here, this is actually an announcement I just put out. So this is a link to our the Getting Started with Git webcast. So that is a great resource for folks getting started with Git. We do have over here on the right the weekly call link again, so you can find that from the Yammer group if you ever lose that. And the other thing I wanted to show in Yammer is after every call, every weekly call, I do post highlights from the call, what we discussed, and then some of the plans. And then I also post the recording and the deck we present during that call. So this is a way for folks that aren't able to get to the call can definitely jump in, watch the recording, read through the deck. And then still be part of the team and contribute through the Yammer. So really want to highlight that those two means of communication. So if you can't get to the weekly call, please do join us in the Yammer. We have good weekly discussions in there. And then another thing I want to show you. So this is our Git repo, PnP JS Core under the Office Dev organization. And you'll see in here, these are all our files. And I won't go through these. I'll show you the code here in a second. But we do have in here, from here, it links out to the Yammer group. We have a quick start guide. And then we talk about the authors. So anyone that contributes, one of the benefits of contributing is we're going to list you as one of the authors in the project. So it gets you a little bit of visibility both inside this project. And that will bubble up into the larger patterns and practices calls for the overall program. You'll also get some visibility as an author there. It's really, we'll give you as much thanks and visibility as we can for your contributions. And this is one of the ways we do it, is right off the homepage here. And then we've got some contribution guides, which is a work in progress. Then working on also consumption of the package, which I want to show you some kind of code stuff right now. So this is Visual Studio Code, which is, you can think of like Visual Studio Lite, and it is the coding platform that's more geared towards web development. It's different than Visual Studio. You can do everything with Visual Studio that you can with Visual Studio Code. So if you want to use Visual Studio, Visual Studio works great. There's no requirement to use code, to use Visual Studio Code at all. So you can absolutely use Visual Studio with no problems. But a lot of our learning materials are currently geared around Visual Studio Code because that's kind of what we've all started using. It's a little bit lighter weight for this kind of TypeScript development. And so what you can see here is just the root class of our Patterns and Practices library, where we expose some things. So we've got SharePoint, storage, configuration, and logging, all kind of getting exposed as static things. And what you're looking at is TypeScript. So this is a superset of JavaScript that actually gets compiled down through a TypeScript compiler into JavaScript, if you're not familiar with TypeScript. That's kind of the quick explanation. So this class, when it's compiled, becomes this, which is pure JavaScript. It's wrapped in what's called a universal module declaration. So it's meant to work with all the different types of client-side module loading systems. But what you'll see here is we've got then our code has been converted to just pure JavaScript. So the static calls are gone, all the typing information is gone, and we just have our JavaScript as you would expect. But the benefits of TypeScript, if we go back to the source file, is it gives us typing, hence the name, and a lot of other sort of code structures that you might be more familiar with coming from the C# world that aren't necessarily part of JavaScript. Or at least not yet. They might be on the drawing board for some of the future versions, but they're not there yet. So really good way to kind of look at getting your TypeScript skills going and learning TypeScript. Part of the project, everything we do is in TypeScript. So great learnings there. You can also look at our gulp file. So this gulp is what I mentioned was kind of our build process, and it allows you to run tasks. So each task then has some code in it, and these are kind of code-first ways of doing things. And I won't go through all of these, but wanted to point this out. If you wanted to learn a little bit more about Gulp or how we're using Gulp, you can come check out our Gulp file, and then we've got some various other files in here. The only other one I want to mention on this call is we've got this package.json, which is related to the NPM packaging framework. And so one of the things we've done is produce an NPM package that people can consume within their own projects to get to our code. And so to that end, I wanted to show you real quick. This is a command window. And what I want to show you is I'm going to do something called npm init. And that's actually going to set up this folder to be a npm project. And I'm going to go ahead and just accept all the defaults. And then I'm going to do npm install. I haven't spelled that right yet today. And so what this is very much like now when you consume the CSOM library, you use NuGet and get the NuGet package, and it becomes part of your solution. This is the same thing through kind of a different channel. So we've gotten now, and I'm going to launch code in that directory. And so we've gotten now our package as what's called a node module, and that's just what the NPM modules are called. So you can see here's the packaging that came down from our module. It's installed a couple of dependencies. And then what I want to do here is I'm just going to add a wrong location. I'm going to add a TypeScript file, and I can now do and include our library in that fashion. And then I actually get all our IntelliSense for all the different methods and things in here as well. And if I were to say use our getRandomString method and I were to give it a string here instead of a number, I do get the type checking as well as you'd expect. So this is sort of showing the end-to-end scenario of from going from code to then the consumption side of the library. Again, early days, so we're really looking to get this built out and enable these scenarios both for the authoring side as well as then the folks that are going to consume this library. We've enabled this simple scenario of being able to just load our module, so again, analogous to the NuGet process, and then import, which is sort of analogous to sort of like using in your C# code. You can think of it like that, performs the same function, and then gives us the ability to start calling our code out, and we get the TypeScript type checking as we would expect. So if I were to say a 6 there, I now lose the squiggly because that's expecting a number. So jumping back to the slide.
And obviously yep. on this demos and everything else, there will be additional guidance. And then how do I actually, like you said, how do I consume this within a SharePoint site? Because just looking in the stuff in the Visual Studio Code might be highly confusing for the people who don't, are not quite up to date on what is a Visual Studio Code or TypeScript. But there will be additional guidance on that one. But then, and we need your input and audience input absolutely on needed guidance as well.
Yeah, definitely. And that's I might not highlight that enough, but we're still very early days, so we're still kind of heads down writing code. But once we get to a place where we're a little bit more stable and have enabled some more scenarios, we're definitely going to be putting out there guidance on the consumption side. So how you would use this library, like, for example, in a script editor web part, how you would use our library with, say, require.js, system.js, how you can use it from a script tag, how you can use it in your own TypeScript projects and use the functionality and build it out to, then enable your projects to be deployed, things like that. So just like the server side, the CSOM library, then has that whole set of samples and examples. We'll be doing the same thing. So we'll have samples and examples on how to use and consume this and use the different functionality with sort of, you know, that's the patterns and practices really part of this is those samples and those, you know, code recipes and things like that that folks can use and consume in their own projects. So that will absolutely all be coming. We're not quite there yet, so please don't be scared off. In fact, I welcome you to please come help us develop those things. So really hope you'll join us. Really hope you'll join us in the Yammer, in the Git repository, contributing the code. And as well, if you can make it to the weekly calls, definitely want to have you there as well. So Vase, I don't know if you had any final thoughts coming out of this.
Not really. I think we covered all of the main topics, and really, we like said so many times, all the feedback is more than welcome. And we do believe that the TypeScript is the right thing to do for the JavaScript development, because the Angular 2.0 is heading that direction. The other let's say initiatives are heading to the TypeScript direction as well, and we absolutely understand that there's a learning curve. And that's also the feedback what we need. What kind of guidance, what kind of videos, what kind of elements is needed for people catching up on this kind of topics and tooling?
Yep, absolutely. And if you do have questions, you know, the Yammer or the weekly calls is how to get involved and how to have your voice heard. You know, we're definitely receptive, as Vesa said, to any feedback we can get. But if we don't hear from you, we just won't know. So please let us know, you know, questions, concerns, where more guidance is needed, where more learning assistance is needed, and we'll do everything we can to help, of course. So really hope you'll join us. Really hope, you know, you'll get involved. And if you have questions, please reach out. You know, if you're not sure how to get involved, please reach out, and we will help you get there.
Sounds good. Thanks, Patrick. And yes, I think it's time to close up on the, we covered the key points. Hopefully people find the webcast valuable. We'll add all of the resources and links of the video to the description of the video in Channel 9 as well, so you can easily find the relevant links from one location as well. And just a small feedback for Patrick, you're always forgetting the copyright. It's already 2016.
Huh.
Never mind.
We'll update that in post.
Absolutely, absolutely. But thank you everybody who's watching, and thanks for your time, and hopefully you find this one valuable. And thanks, Patrick, for once again joining on delivering one of these webcasts.
Yep, thanks for having me.